This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gano with the Middle East Research Center Limited, and this is Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. I want to thank all the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots, the patriot conservatives of the United States of America. And I want to say thank you to all of those that support the work here of Merkel in Israel. You have been a blessing to everything that I've been able to do, and I have the privilege right now of being in Jerusalem. It's a beautiful night. The moon's out. It's almost full according to the Hebrew calendar, and I am at a Lone Soldier cookout, and it's fantastic. I don't know if you can hear the background noise. I love it. A little ambiance here. And with that being said, I want to sidetrack here just for a minute. I want to say thank you to those who have contributed to Hershey's for Heroes. Now, Hershey's for Heroes is where Americans are sending chocolate bars with a note saying thank you to the soldiers with their name and what state they're from. And they're mailing them to Israel. And as soon as I collect 500 chocolate bars from you great patriot conservatives that are Zionists through and through, once those chocolate bars are collected, we're going to create a video, and I'm going to take them down with some volunteers down to a very busy bus depot down in Tel Aviv, and we're going to hand them out to the soldiers, and we're going to say thank you. And there's going to be a note attached to those chocolate bars that I thought were made in America, but they moved the factory to Mexico. So, anyway, I want to say thank you to everyone who contributed to Hershey's for Heroes, because that's what these soldiers are. They are truly heroes in defense of the Jewish state. So, listen, I have with me who is a volunteer and coordinator for the Lone Soldiers, Michael Levin Lone Soldiers. Avital.
Yeah.
Avital. Avital, thank you for being here with us on Insight to Israel.
You're welcome.
You might have to speak a little loud. We got a little background right. Noise, but we like that. We like that. It adds a little, like I said, a little ambiance.
Yes.
So
it is. A lot of people are here. It's good.
And it encourages soldiers. Now, I'm going to explain real quick what a Lone Soldier is. My voice is a little louder, and you're very feminine. And so, so a Lone Soldier is a soldier that comes from all over the world. They're Jewish. They have no obligation to serve, but they do so willingly. And we've got a lot of soldiers here from the United States. Now, this particular group of soldiers is, this event was put on by Michael Levin Lone Soldiers. And so, Michael Levin, tell us who Michael Levin was.
Michael Levin was a lone soldier, and he came from Philadelphia, and he was killed in the Second Lebanon War.
Which was when?
It was in 2006.
2006.
And his dream was to, the lone soldier, to have a place that they can come, do their laundry, drink coffee with someone, place that will help them and hug them. And after he died, a few people that know him and ex-lone soldiers build a center in his memory for all the lone soldiers that we have here in Israel.
You know, when I heard the background of Michael Levin, it was fascinating. This guy wanted to be in the army so bad and to defend this country that he literally, they told him he didn't have the proper paperwork or something. So he knew the processing station was on the second floor of this building. So he stacked trash cans up on one another and went in and said, I want to be a soldier. That's fascinating.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
So Michael Levin, Lone Soldier, was started in memory of him.
Yeah.
Because of his commitment to the Jewish state.
Yes.
So, and it came from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, as known and otherwise known in the United States. So, okay, Avital.
Yes.
So where are you from originally?
I'm from a settlement near Yerushalayim.
I call them new neighborhoods.
New neighborhoods, yes.
That's what the left calls them. We call them new neighborhoods.
Yes.
I'm not correcting you. I'm just telling you my version.
Yeah, okay. And I was born here. My parents made Aliyah when they were young, a few years ago.
Where were they from?
My mom is from the States, from Long Beach, New York. Okay. And my dad is from South Africa.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. And I still have family aboard in all kind of places. But most of my close family are here. And this is the place.
Nice, nice. You know, this is, I'll tell you, I can't say it enough, this is a beautiful, I love being in the capital of Israel, the capital.
Yes.
Regardless of what the rest of the world says, this is the capital. I love how you just had that look when you're in your eyes. Yes, you agree. So why are you, why do you do volunteer work for the Lone Soldiers?
So when I first heard about the Lone Soldier Center, I knew that there is Lone Soldiers in Israel, but I didn't really knew what the story is and how are they doing and what's going on. And when I heard about the center and what the center is doing, and when you hear all the stories, good stories and really bad stories about Lone Soldiers, you feel like they're leaving their families, their home, their friends, everybody. It's like leaving that in all over the world, in the States, we have from Russia, from India, Lone Soldier, from everywhere. And they come here for us to protect all the Jewish in the world country. And when you see how can you help them, and they need the help of time, you're just like, you fell in love with the work, with the people, amazing Zionist people that come here to Israel to help. And just like want to do it and continue. And when you see the people and when they thank you, you get more strength from it. And it's like doing what we, as Israeli, I feel like we need to thank them that they're here, they're helping us. And this is my tribute to them.
Wow, wow, that's great. You know, I'll tell you, I've said it time and again, if it had not been for Hashem giving Torah to the Jewish people, I would not have a Constitution or Bill of Rights. And I want to say thank you to you, Avital, for doing volunteer work for the Lone Soldiers, because I spent a lot of time with the military, and these guys are fantastic. The guys and girls that serve in the military in general are just the best, and at the same time, the ones who come here when they don't have to, I think that says a lot about their character, about their integrity. And character and integrity is something that's hard to find today. Good character and integrity. So do you have any... Now, you did national service.
Yes, I did national service.
Tell us what national service is.
So national service is an option for girls that don't want to go to the army from religious reasons to also volunteer and contribute their time and strength and things that they can do. So I did 2 years. One I did in high school, and I was a counselor there. And the second year I did in the Michael Lewin Lone Soldier Center, helping Lone Soldiers.
Nice, nice. And still you continue to work there?
Yes. I was there before, and now I'm there after.
Wow.
It's one of the goals of the center is being a family, and it is. Soldiers are coming, and you know them, and it's like coming to say hello in the office, and it's a really big family. And when someone needs anything, everybody's helping, and everybody is doing what they can for the Lone Soldiers. It's an amazing place.
Wow. You know, I respect that. Thank you. I can't say that enough, because, you know, a lot of times people, when they're obligated to do something, once it's done, once the obligation is fulfilled, they move on to something else. And Avital, I respect you. I appreciate you for continuing to help these soldiers and, you know, comfort them, give them guidance when they need it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
It's You're giving very... a lot. To give is giving.
So. You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, look, we're going to talk to some of these Lone Soldiers. I appreciate you helping me out with this. And I want to get those two sisters over here. There's two sisters. I want to get them over here and talk to them. Thank you, Avital. We'll bring you back, okay? All right. We have two young ladies here from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes.
Hi.
Born and raised.
Born and raised. Wow. Okay, so before I introduce you, I want to say one of you is currently serving.
Yes.
And the other's done?
Yes.
You're done?
Yes.
Wow, wow. Now, you were a lone soldier, too?
Yes, we were both lone
soldiers. Wow, wow, that's fantastic. Listen, I've said this before, but since you're here now sitting with me, I want to say, first of all, if it had not been, and, you know, I want to emphasize this, because I tell this to a lot of these folks in Tel Aviv, because it's a different mindset down there, you know? I say, look, you don't have to wear the kippah, you don't even have to be Haredi. But you would better acknowledge and you better thank God for the Jewish state. Because there's only one.
That is true.
And God gave it to you, and you better fight hard for it. You better appreciate it. And when you wake up in the morning, you better say, Baruch Hashem.
We agree.
Did I say that? Did I
we
say
agree.
That?
We agree. You just yes. said that well. You said it very well.
Thank you.
And,
I appreciate it.
We're very thankful, you know.
So, that if anyone doesn't know, because I'm still a novice at Hebrew, that means thank God in Hebrew.
Yes.
So, anyway, let's get your names. I want to start with the lady who just finished Lone Soldiers.
Yeah. Okay. My name is Rachel. I moved to Israel almost 5 years ago.
How old are you?
I am almost 24.
24. Wow. Wow.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you why I say wow in a second.
Okay. I was a lone soldier. I served in the education corps in the Israeli army. In the army here, we have soldiers who take care of civilians, not only other soldiers, but in terms of, like, civilian life. I worked with at-risk youth in a youth village.
Nice, nice.
And I helped kids that couldn't really be living alone with their parents, and they kind of needed to be sent away to boarding school. So I worked with teenagers that needed help, and I found that very fulfilling. And I find that a really amazing part of the Israeli army, that not only are we fighting for our country, but we're trying to help the people in the country as well.
Wow.
Trying to preserve the country at the same time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, trying to kind of just raise the quality of the people in the country and helping everyone out in all different situations.
Now, you served 2 years.
Yes.
The just for the listener's sake, the men serve 3 and the women serve 2.
Yes.
Now, first of all, let me say this. I'm enamored. I am simply awestruck, and I'll tell you why. Because, and I've talked to a lot of lone soldiers. I actually did a promotional video for Michael Levin Lone Soldiers months ago. It's on YouTube. And I talked to this. You are more mature than most girls your age in the United States. I have to tell you. Look, the facts are, this is one of the best countries, and I'll tell you why. In 65 years, you lead the way in agriculture, you lead the way in technology, you lead the way in medicine. And I get tired of hearing this stuff, oh, the Jews this, the Jews that, from the leftist media. It's a lie. I fight it. I despise it. And when I think about what you've given to the world, and I'm going to tell you, I haven't met a prideful Jew here. You have your pride just like anyone else. But you have had to fight for everything that you own, whether it's personal, professional, or as far as your own country. And I respect it. And I want to say I honor you, ladies.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
And so why? I want to know why. Why did you choose to come here? Let me emphasize before you say anything. Sometimes I get on a kick and I have to jump in. It's my show anyway. But I jump in. I get on the soapbox. So you'll have to sometimes stop me and say, Michael, zip it. But you don't have to serve. You're not obligated.
Correct.
The lone soldiers do not have to serve, but yet there's something more inside, so tell me why.
You picked 2 sisters for probably the same reason, so just
so, yeah, so we're going to repeat. So we grew up with parents that were Zionists.
Say it again, because I love that word.
We grew up with parents who were Zionists.
Wow, it's beauty.
And so we always had a love for Israel. And I always knew that I wanted to move to Israel eventually. I never really knew I wanted to join the army because I didn't know that there were options like what I ended up doing in the army, which is less militaristic and more social service. So I decided that if I'm going to move to Israel, which is my dream because I want to be part of the Jewish state and I feel like it's my obligation to be in Israel, I decided that in order to be part of the society here, I needed to serve in the army. And so that is what I decided to do. I decided to leave my parents and leave my sister back in America and come here because I felt like...
Your sister would sit next to you.
Yes.
What an example.
Not happy, I'll tell you that. That's the one thing, because I didn't know my whole life that I wanted to move to Israel at this age, and I thought she was leaving me, but in the end, I understand her.
And so it's just the two of us. It's just the two of us and our parents back in Cincinnati. So I left my sister when she was in high school, but she ended up following in my footsteps, even though she refuses to say that she was following me.
You guys are close.
She was going in her own path. And so she is doing something completely different than me in the Army. Totally different. Can she explain?
Let me throw this in here. Look, American Jews, listen up. I'm going to get on my soapbox here for about 2 minutes. Number one, I've got two young ladies sitting next to me that I've had people call me brave. I'm 42. When most guys my age are thinking about retirement and their 401k and all this other stuff, I've loved this country. My parents raised me as a Zionist, okay? And I'm not Jewish. And my mother used to read me out of Torah when I was a kid for an hour every night. There are nights I didn't like it. I was like, why do we have to do this? But she planted a seed in my heart of a love for the Jewish people and understanding their history. So my point is that I know, and I can say it all I want because I'm not a Jew, but the American Jews, they sit back. I've hung out with them in D.C. They sip their martinis and have happy hours. They come to Tel Aviv. You know what? You come here and you stand with your people after 2,000 years of waiting, the rabbis praying, and Hashem giving you your land back under the spill of blood and under the sweat of brow. You come here and stand. Bring your ingenuity. Yeah, it's hard. This is a tough country.
This is true. We can tell you. Yeah.
It's expensive here, you know? But you know what? Bob Dewey's friends, Jeff, if you're listening, brother, you come here and you bring your bride here. And you make this place better if you don't like how it is. You make it better. You bring the positive to it. And if you're a parent, my God, bring your children and let them serve proudly to defend the Jewish state. Man, you guys you're awe-inspiring. I think it's great. So I'm going to move over. We're going to talk to the sister here. Tell us your name.
Okay, my name is Nina.
We have Rachel
and Nina. I'm turning 21 soon.
Nice. Wow. I'm so impressed. It's like there's kids partying right now on campuses, and you're coming and serving the military. Wow.
Yeah, I'm doing something a bit different, but I'm currently a shooting instructor for...
Nice! Hey, high five me, girl. No offense to what you did. It was needed.
No.
I respect...
We chose very different paths in the Army.
You know how many guys what are you again? What are you doing?
Shooting instructor.
How many guys right now listening to this are melting inside?
Shooting instructor. I work with the foot soldiers of the Nahal Brigade. Down in the middle of the desert.
Wow,
so,
nice.
And that's pretty much teach them.
How did you get... Okay, we understand why you did what you did. And look, I want to say, I'm thankful for you. I'm talking to the sister now, to Rachel. Rachel, kids need your help.
Thank you.
They need your guidance. No, I mean that.
Thank you.
And that's what I appreciate about this country and the way they do things. Look, nothing's perfect. But if anyone's going to complain, let it be in the Jewish state. And let it be fixed. And I say thank you, Rachel. Thank you. Because there's some kids are going to grow up, and they're going to look back on their life and say, you know what, it was Rachel.
I agree. No, I really respect what she did. And when I came to the Army, I thought very, very long and hard about doing the same thing that she did because I thought it was so important. But I really wanted to be a teacher because when I was in high school, I was really good at tutoring and teaching other kids, and I was in youth group, and I was very good at standing in front of people and speaking. And even though it was a brand new language, and I'd have to learn how to teach
in Hebrew.
It runs
in the family. You guys are doing great.
Thank you. I really wanted to be some kind of teacher, and because of that, I went through different interviews and found out that I could be a weapons instructor.
Nice.
Wow. Went to the course, had to do a lot of shooting, had to do a lot of learning. Learning in Hebrew was one of the most difficult things I've ever done because it was just, I don't even know where the pieces of guns in English, so trying to learn about how a gun works in Hebrew is not the easiest, but it's really interesting. And in the end, I got placed on the base that I'm at, and I'm very thankful for it because there's a lot of good people. And
nice, nice.
It's an interesting experience, so yeah.
Wow, wow, that's fascinating. You know, look, I talked to some soldiers on the bus. I'm down in Ramat Gan temporarily down in Tel Aviv. And both these guys were in the, I apologize, I can't remember, the Purple Beret?
Givati.
Okay. And they're like, Michael, it's hard here, it's hard here. And I'm like, you know what? How can you come here and it's so hard? But you know, anything that's good in life, I don't care if your marriage, your relationship is sisters. Look, you take people from different walks of life, different personalities, different perspectives, and you put them in one place, especially in the Jewish state, in this little strip of land, you're going to have people bump butt heads. You're going to have people disagree. But I respect the fact that you knew. I'm sure you had an idea. I'm sure you were here before you moved.
Yeah, many times.
You know, I'm sure you saw the reality of what this country was like.
Yeah.
And I'm gloating right now. I have to tell you, because I respect two American girls that come here that know it's not going to be easy.
Thank you.
And
we
you're willing to.
It.
You know what? Life, when I think about the pioneers that went out west when the United States was first, you think those folks wanted, oh, we need welfare. We need the government to help us. No, low, 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 low. They said, leave us alone to make our own path, to chart our own course, to make and develop our own greatness. And that's what you girls have done. You're pioneers.
Well, our parents always said that sometimes the right decisions are not always popular and not always easy, and that's how kind of we were raised.
Absolutely. Man, I wish I could hug your parents now.
So.
Now, you're the only two in your family?
Yeah, yes. Just the two of us.
Wow.
Our parents will follow us
here.
They'll
come here eventually.
Good, that's what we want.
As you know, it just takes a lot of money, a lot of time.
I'm going to send you this recording, and you can tell Mom and Dad, I love you. Thank you for raising them right. Now it's your time to follow their example. That's great stuff.
Appreciate
Fantastic
that.
Stuff. Well, ladies, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
America's proud of you.
Thank you.
The Jewish people are proud of you. Hashem is proud of you. I don't know. I think that tops it off.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone else that you need to be proud of. I mean, you didn't need me, you know, but hey, I'll just throw it in anyway.
Well, we appreciate that.
No, you're welcome. Listen, I'm going to send you guys this recording. Now, you're out. Now, what are you doing now?
I'm actually studying graphic design, illustration, and advertising.
Nice.
At Bitzalel.
When you finished, you didn't go back to the U.S. You're staying here.
I started studying here.
Both of us intend to
be here. I'm halfway through my degree right now.
I love the Jewish state. I love the. I don't call it Israel. I call it the Jewish state more than anything. So anyway, go ahead.
So I'm studying visual communications, which is like what I said, graphic design, advertising, illustration. So I'm going to go into one of those fields. I don't know what yet. I still have two more years of my degree. I'm just at the end of my second year right now, and I'm planning on staying here.
It'll go quick.
It'll go really quickly. I'm in shock that I finished half. I'm halfway done already. And so I plan on being here, and I really love what I'm studying, and
good.
I love doing it here.
She almost gets as little sleep as I do, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I sleep like 4 hours a night. She also sleeps that
Wow, that's
night.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's about what I get, because I'm up till 4 a.m. making calls to the States.
Oh, wow, yeah.
On talk radio in the States, you know, because the time change and everything. That's good. That's good. I'm really glad. Now, you, little lady, have you thought about staying in after your 2 years?
Yes, I want to.
Why did I have that feeling?
Well, again, we're raised by the same parents, the same people. Like I was saying to you before we started the interview, that I came here not just to do the Army, but just to be here for the long haul. And I know that I'm really young and that I have a lot to learn and that we'll see how I figure out
life here. I'm hearing this out of an American. Wow. I have a lot to learn. Wow. You guys are awesome. I can't say it. I love you guys. You're awesome.
But we'll see. I really want to stay here, and I will. My sister's here. And so I'm hoping I'll figure out life here and do well.
You will.
And start school. I'm finishing in 6 months, so I'm hoping after that to work a little bit and then start school just like she did. So.
Okay. Good. You know, I post on Facebook once in a while. I got pro Zion written all over my Facebook page. A lot of pictures of the military. I love them. They're the best. But I always say on Facebook, Hashem, strengthen their hearts, increase their confidence, make their aim sure, and their shot direct in defending the Jewish state. Because, you guys are up against some serious odds. The world is not getting prettier. I'm not going to get into the politics, but the fact of the matter is we have a current administration that is not showing itself to be pro-Israel. In words, okay, yeah. But we are now funding Islam all over the world. Libya, failure. Egypt, failure. Syria, that's bloodshed. That's a bloodbath. And we shouldn't be given money. I've actually got a project I'm working on now, which I won't talk too much about. But we should not be giving Islam one dime. And I tell them on Facebook, and this goes to D.C., trust me, instead of giving money to Muslim countries, we should be strengthening the borders of the Jewish state. Because, and look, you guys are going to find husbands one day. We need lots of Jewish babies. You know what I mean? We got to out-procreate the Muslims. Because they're having like 8 or 9 kids, you know, raising them in the madrasas and the schools here, and they're teaching them in the school books to hate the Jews. It's been proven.
Yeah.
But we need lots of Jewish babies. And you know what? Thank you for being Americans. I thank God that by divine providence, you were born in the United States of America, that your parents could raise you, be a good example to you. And thank you, thank you, thank you for carrying that example.
Yeah, I'd like to say this now because I don't know if people ever, you know, hear this from us, but we really do appreciate the United States and the way we were raised.
Absolutely.
And where we were raised.
Absolutely.
And I thank God really that I was born there and that I had the experiences that I had. And by moving to Israel, it doesn't mean that I don't appreciate the United States.
No, absolutely.
It doesn't mean anything like that because when I got to go home before, when you're a lone soldier in the army, they let you go home for a couple days.
Yeah.
Here or there to visit your parents, and I feel like sometimes people look at me and think, well, you're raised in the United States and you just got up and moved and joined a foreign military, but I do appreciate everything
right.
The United States
well,
has done for
look,
us.
Look, those people speak out of ignorance, and I'll tell you why, because I recently got an email. I've worked in politics for years. I'm a huge right-wing constitution guy, huge. I believe in moral principles that are found in Torah, and I had someone actually send me an email like, I used to look up to you. You stood against the left. You stood up for principles and values, and you fought in politics, and now you're wearing the uniform of a foreign country and blah, blah, blah. But those are people that don't understand. Like I said, let me emphasize. And look, I know you guys are grateful for the states, for the United States. I'm grateful. I'm a patriot through and through. But if it had not been for Hashem giving Torah to the Jewish people, I would not have a constitutional Bill of Rights. So I owe the Jewish people clear back to coming to Israel. I do. And if folks don't understand that, I'm sorry for their ignorance. Because you know what? There's a lot of truth out there. And if a man is hungry or a woman is hungry for truth, seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And look, I don't want to get... But great rabbi or Messiah doesn't matter. Jesus, that's what Jesus said. And at the end of the day, those words are true. And I believe if people want truth, God will show them. And so, look, everybody's got to have something to say. And there's some folks that are just not sucking on the lemon, but the whole tree. You know what I mean? So, but you guys are the greatness of America. Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you,
thank you for talking
it.
To me. Thank you for being
our
on
pleasure.
On Sit
yeah,
I, Insight
this.
To Israel. I'm going to run into you again because we're not through. This is a small country, you know, a small state. So thank you for being here, ladies. God bless you. We want to get the next guy over here. Let's get a guy from New York City over here. What's your name?
Ari.
Thank you for being on Insight to Israel.
And, okay, glad to be here.
Yeah, it's so Ari, you're from where?
I'm from Queens originally. Queens, New York.
Queens,
yeah.
New York. Wow, great stuff. Ari, how old are you?
26.
26. Are you in the military still? You're out.
No, I was released last summer, about 10 months ago.
Oh, nice.
Reserve duty.
Nice, nice. Ari, you dude, you look like you. What are you, a model now or what? Is that what you're doing? You're modeling or something for what's that clothing company here?
No.
Okay.
I work for Birthright.
Birthright. Ah, nice. Birthright is great.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, I work for Young Judea. It's an organizer for Birthright.
Okay.
And basically, we bring young Jews who've never been to Israel before, I never thought about coming to Israel before,
very
to have them experience Israel for the first time, meet this country that a lot of them think is just desert, and let them experience what Israel is outside of what gets shown on CNN.
Okay, absolutely. We're going to talk about that. Ari, listen, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
Okay. This is Michael Gonneau with Middle East Research Center Limited and Insight to Israel. I want to say thank you to America's Web Radio for bringing the truth to the grassroots of the United States of America, patriot conservatives who stand with the only Jewish state, the only democracy in the world, the state of Israel, as they at their greatness and as they struggle for sovereignty and security. We'll be right back.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth. That's what Dr. Michael Youssef does each week on Leading the Way. And now you can listen right here on Radio Sandy Springs. Join Dr. Youssef for profound teaching and insight into the worldwide ministry of Leading the Way. You'll also hear accounts of how the gospel message is reaching some of the darkest areas of the world. So join us for Leading the Way.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back. This is Michael Gonneau with Middle East Research Center Limited and Insight to Israel. I want to say thank you to America's Web Radio for allowing us to bring insight to Israel to the United States of America. Listen, I'm at a Lone Soldier, Michael Levin Lone Soldier event. Michael Levin was a Lone Soldier, and a Lone Soldier is someone who comes from all over the world, an individual, male or female. They come to the Jewish state. They have no obligation to serve in the military, and yet they do it willingly. They serve to help defend the Jewish state, and I think it's an amazing, amazing program. Michael Levin was a soldier that was from Philadelphia. He wanted to be in so bad. Something happened with the paperwork, you know, the red tape thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so they said, you need to go back. You need to go back. So the actual floor in the building was on the second floor that actually did, I guess, that inducted you in
the
military.
Yeah, in-processing.
The in-processing. This kid, I say kid, that's not even the right word. He was a man. And he stacked a couple trash cans up on each other, climbed through the window. And, wow, another, are you a lone soldier?
No, I work in the office.
You work in the office? Oh, I remember you. It's great to see you again. Awesome. It's good to see you again. Is this your man? I was going to say, man, fella hadn't snatched you up yet? No? Okay. The most beautiful woman in the world, Jewish women. You can't beat it, you know? Anyway, a little side note on the radio program. Yeah. Ari, I'm here with Ari.
Yeah.
Ari, you're from New York.
Absolutely.
And Ari, what part of New York are you from?
I was born in Manhattan, and my parents moved to Queens when I was young. So I guess now I'm from Manhattan. Well, I'm from Queens. My parents still live there with my brother.
Okay.
But now I live here.
Why is my question? Why did you want to become a lone soldier?
I don't know if I actually wanted to become a lone soldier. It's kind of just what happens when you come here because my parents don't want to move. It was something that progressed from when I was very young. I always wanted to be a soldier. The question was just the United States or in Israel.
Right.
Awesome. And like a whole long process of Zionism and what I believed I would do the most good or the most meaningful service I could have, I figured it would be in Israel. I always thought about joining the American military after my Israeli service. I figured my mom's had enough had enough stress.
At least in the American military, you don't have to deal with near Now, I've got a nephew in Afghanistan.
Yeah? I have a couple friends who are going. I have a friend who's being deployed to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
In like a month or two in EOD.
Tough. You guys have to deal with that same thing every day.
Yeah, it's a different attitude, a different lifestyle, because, you know, like, people get deployed to Afghanistan, they won't be home for 6 months. They have a different lifestyle completely.
Right.
And it's different for us. I guess that's just a function of the wars are farther away.
Right.
Here it's like you can travel in any direction, and you'll eventually hit, you don't have to travel too far to hit a hostile nation.
Yeah.
So we see soldiers coming home back and forth every weekend, crisscrossing the country with their weapons, going back and forth from defending the border.
It's amazing, man. Amazing.
You know, people, like, we had the Operation Pillar of Defense.
Yeah.
And it was like,
what year was that for the listener?
The Pillar of Defense was this past November, I believe.
Yeah, during the rockets.
It was the most recent flare-up. And it was just a function of Israeli society. It's like, you know, who's in the office always got reserve duty. Where is this? It's like one of the guys that I work with, he deals with all making the orders for hotels for birthright groups. And then also during his reserve duty, he's a company commander in the Armored Corps.
Wow.
The manager of a restaurant that I used to work at, 2 days a week, he runs a huge department in the Home Front Command.
Yeah.
So one day, you know, during the operation, he showed up for his rest. He showed up to manage the restaurant in full uniform with a colonel's rank on it, handing out orders and dealing with the restaurant. It's like a
he's working in his uniform in a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
I mean, I just think a big difference is that in America, if you see someone with an M16, there's a huge problem.
Like, right. Absolutely.
If you see a guy in uniform with an M16
here
in Penn Station, it's like something's going down, and here it's just someone's going to have lunch.
And I'm, you know what, Ari, I'll tell you, and some soldiers, I was talking to them, and I said, I'd have a huge problem if I saw so much military walking the streets in the states, because each state has its own rights.
Has the National Guard and the Posse Comitatus Act that, like, federal forces.
Wow, how'd you know? I don't think I've heard.
So I have a degree. My degree is in political science.
Nice.
Political science is just like a really big buff on that.
Nice.
I read a ton of books before the Army. I read them all again after the Army to see, like, perspective. I've read, like, the book Inside Delta Force for, like, 5 or 6 times.
My dad was a Green Beret.
Oh, yeah?
My father was a Green Beret.
So one of the main reasons that I came, I think one of two very simple reasons to explain why I'm here is my father's parents survived Auschwitz.
Oh, wow.
And my mother's father was a GI in World War II.
Wow.
And I was always brought up in general, the respect for soldiers.
Absolutely.
Like, I didn't come from a family that's like, oh, that's something. It wasn't necessarily something that's something that you should do, but something that you should appreciate the fact that someone
Absolutely.
Does it for you.
Absolutely.
Because it's not, you know, my father came from a generation in Vietnam where everyone wasn't so eager to serve, and people, when they got back, weren't so accepted. So he says, never forget that there are people who do this. It, like, the United States, it doesn't exist because everyone likes us. It exists because there are people like that willing to stop the people who don't like us.
Ari, how old are you?
26.
26. Listen, America, I'm talking to an American sitting here spouting off some truth. I just, dude, you know what a Chinese buffet is?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Still American.
Exactly. I just ate a Chinese buffet of truth right now. You were just spilling out. Brother, that's good stuff. Because so many young people, that's why I love these soldiers so much. My family was all military, and I didn't go in. But that had its reasons. I ended up going to Bible college. I studied Torah for 4 years. But that's what helps me relate so much to the people here, because I know the Old Testament very well. But my point being is that I talk to these young people that have such a maturity level far beyond, unfortunately, and I'm not criticizing all I love my country. I'm a patriot. And I don't want to be misunderstood. But there is there's a maturity level the military here gives you.
Well, there's a maturity that's required from being in a nation where guys in my unit spend their
entire life.
Spent their high school years running to bomb shelters in the middle classes. We have a whole generation in the South that's growing up not knowing what it's like to not, like, just now understanding what it's like to go a day without having to run to the bomb shelters. There's not a generation in this country that hasn't gone. Like, the joke is, it's like one of the managers at the restaurant I worked at was like, wait till you have a war. And like, we all serve in reserves. So it's like, not that I did my service and it was fine and it's done and I served my country. It's like,
You continue.
I will have to be called on one day to continue to serve. My reserve duty's up north, where things are getting a little bit interesting.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to head up there.
So, It's just a fact of life here. But I've also met a lot of Americans who feel the same way. There's a group called JINSA that they send cadets from all the service academies. They just came by, and I met them, and they were outstanding individuals. It was
nice.
So much fun.
JINSA is American?
JINSA is an American organization. I forgot what the acronym is.
Are they Jewish?
Yes, it's a Jewish. It's something like Jewish cooperation between the American military and the Israeli military.
Nice.
It's like Jewish defense coordination, I think, is the acronym something.
Yeah.
And they have trips where they bring cadets over all the time to experience Israel, again, so that they understand, like, especially the future leaders of the United States military, so they should see one of their allies is like. The joke is that we're trying to get, like, you know, the future chief of naval operations.
Of course. Staff,
like, on our side before we.
Absolutely, but I'm all about that.
But, awesome. You know what? It was, like, a really outstanding group of guys. And, like, a lot of the same. There are very few people there who are like, I came for the college money. Like, you go to ROTC for the college money. Like,
right.
You go to the ROTC. No one goes to the Naval Academy for the college money.
Right, right.
Really just a fun, like, outstanding group of individuals. I'm really happy to have met them and to continue to be in touch with them.
Wow.
And have new friends whenever I go back to visit the States.
I didn't know this. This is.
Yeah, it's a really, really impressive organization. It's a really impressive tour because then they say they come back from the experience, understanding a lot more of the dynamic of what's going on because they learned it outside of classroom and in the field where they, you know, the Jerusalem, it's like the most conquered city in history. And gas station, like main roads, people honking at each other, supermarkets. It's not.
Love it.
They haven't seen one camel yet in Jerusalem. Like going up north, going down south, meeting 18-year-olds. It's like, I'm in combat because someone's got to do it. Like, I have to be. It's really, you know, like when you meet people like that, you see the same kind, you have the same kind of connection. It doesn't matter what uniform they're wearing. And
absolutely.
It's really cool. It was a really cool experience.
You know, Ari, I'll tell you, brother, I've been all over this country and I will say that I love the unity in this country. There is a unity that the military brings among the Jewish people that is amazing to me. It's amazing. You know, I think it's with the military in general in the States, but not everybody serves.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And when everybody knows on a daily basis, I'm telling you, man, this thing's changed my life. This place has turned me inside out because now when these guys, I don't know the name of the song, when they're getting in a circle, jumping up and down, they're bringing me in with them. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like a family style country where it's like you can get in an argument with someone one time and then 5 minutes later they'll be inviting you over for a Shabbat dinner.
Yeah.
Like when I would be in uniform, we were and then be on guard duty somewhere and people would hear my accent and be like, oh, you have to come to my, like, do you have a place to do laundry? You have to do like place to do this. It's just like being a lone soldier. I was able to be a lone soldier in this country just because the country's so supportive. Because
right.
I never once did I ever lack for a place to eat, a place to sleep, a place to do laundry, nothing like that. And that's also a lot in part to do the Lone Soldier Center memory of Michael Levin.
Yes.
Which is, like, as I'm sure people have mentioned before, it was an organization created by lone soldiers who knew Michael and knew that was his dream and they wanted to create something. Because it's like, who knows better what a lone soldier goes through than lone soldiers?
Absolutely.
Like, do. And it's just I volunteer with them now because it's just fun to give back. Like, the military here is people, like, learn and then they go back to teach the new generation.
Yeah.
So just like lone soldiers, we learn and then we go back. Like, I'm even saying now, it's like, I wish this stuff was around when I was in the Army. Like, there's all these new different programs and new things coming out, and it's just like I'd go back to the Army again just to get all this, take advantage of all these new benefits. But once again, my mother's had enough stress.
Yeah. Now, what did your parents think when you...
So there's some harsh language.
Had you been to Israel before?
Yes, I had been. My first time in Israel was when I was 13. I instantly fell in love with the country. I came
nice.
Back on birthright.
I love hearing
and,
that.
And, like, that sealed the deal. The whole college plan, like, afterwards, my parents made me the deal that they would pay for my education, but I had to finish my degree, and they'd pay for the whole thing, and then I could do whatever I wanted. And, like, the idea was, what 18-year-old says, I'm going to join the Army in 4 years, goes to 4 years of college and said, like, they're like, a job, a girl,
absolutely.
A career, anything, like, what are the odds?
I love
and,
it, man.
And, you know, like, 4 years later, so my senior year of college, I'm like, I applied, while everyone else is doing the GMATs and the LSATs and applying to grad school and figuring out jobs, I'm good, I'm going to Israel. It's like, I'm pretty sure they'll take my GPA, you know? I told my parents that it's like I found a great job that, just think of it this way, I found a great job that pays for food, housing, transportation, equipment, education, the works. It might be the Army, but, you know, it like,
wow.
There was. I said I was going to the. I told one of my professors I was going into the expanding. What was it? What did I say to him? It was like the recession-proof industry of conflict resolution. And unfortunately, in the region, this is a very—it's a very recession-proof industry.
Wow, that's amazing! Wow,
yeah,
wow,
you know.
So, wow, this, ladies and gentlemen, this. There's two things that this is a sign of. The sign of greatness, because number one, he is an American. And I'm going to say this again. If it had not been for Hashem giving Torah to the Jewish people, we would not have a constitutional Bill of Rights. That's a fact. Because our founding fathers, even though the left is trying to rewrite history, our founding fathers, even though they slightly, in slight variances, disagree doctrinally, they all knew that Hashem, that God was forming and shaping a nation. And I owe somebody my freedom. And brother, I'm gonna tell you what, I'm proud of you, man.
I'm still proud to be an American.
Absolutely.
I don't consider myself any less American. I don't consider myself any less patriotic. It's just
this is the fulfillment, the fulfillment of the patriot spirit. To go and help the only democracy, our only ally in the Middle East, that's a fact. You know? And a democracy that is, it's not on the offense, that's on a constant defense. And that's awesome, brother. That's fantastic stuff. Listen, man, hey, this is a great event.
Yeah.
The fire is going. We got some soup on. We got some music being sung. It's a beautiful night. According to the Jewish calendar, the moon will be full, another few days, but it's beautiful. We are in the capital city of Israel, that is Jerusalem, not Tel Aviv, for all you left-wing cowardice politicians in the United States.
I like that.
This is the only capital. So, hey, listen, Ari.
Thank you very much.
Grab that other guy. Thank you for talking to us.
I'll bring Yossi over.
Great, great story, man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for
helping us getting our message out, and it's really great to. It's nice to hear an American accent every now and then.
No, it's good. It's good. Listen, what I want you to do is I want you to get that other guy over here, and then at the end of this, I'm going to walk over, and I'm going to say, I want everybody to say, well, thank you, Merkel.
Okay. Sounds good.
We love you, America. Well, we got the other guy coming over. This guy is from Richmond, Virginia. I was kind of shocked. We got New York covered, we got Virginia covered, and we got Ohio covered. And it's great stuff. Very exciting stuff.
The food's there, so why don't you want to pause and like?
I can't. I got to keep it going.
Okay.
So he's going to grab this guy, and we're going to talk about Richmond, Virginia. And we're going to find out why this young man became a lone soldier. And it's going to be good stuff. Let me get him over here. He's grabbing some soup, but I didn't want to pause. I want to keep it rolling. So thank you for everyone that's listening to the show. Hey, wow, that soup looks good.
Essentially.
Man, now what kind is that? What are we looking at here?
I actually have no idea what I'm looking at here.
No, we got some rice in there.
Yeah, so essentially they put some rice. There's some meat, chicken, potatoes, carrots.
Wow, a bunch of different.
I guess they stick it in these pots, so they sit there for 2 hours, and hope it comes out good.
Nice. No, it looks good. It smells good, too.
Yep.
Yeah, listen, I'm glad we got this kind of setting. Now,
I'm from Richmond.
Richmond, what's your name?
Yosef.
Michael Gano. Listen, Yosef, thank you for coming on the show to Insight to Israel. Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Born and raised.
Well, I was raised in the north. It's complicated.
Okay.
It's a very long story. I ended up...
Well, we only have so much time, but you know how to hit the highlights.
Right, so essentially I grew up in Richmond, and... That's it. You know, I lived there for about 6 years, and then I came over to, and I finished high school, and I thought to myself, well, I kind of want more.
Yeah.
I kind of want to change the scenery, essentially.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
You're in now.
No, I just finished about a month ago.
You just finished. Okay.
Yeah.
A month ago.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you for your service to the country, brother.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Yosef, had you been to Israel before?
Very briefly.
How long?
About 2 weeks.
Before. How old were you?
Very young. I must have been 15.
15. Mm-hmm. Wow. 2 weeks. So what kind of impact did that have on you as a 15-year-old?
Well, I mean, I went to a religious school.
Okay.
I went to a Jewish religious school. So there you always...
You get exposed to a lot.
It's not that you get exposed to a lot, but, like, you know, as opposed to, like, in a state public school where, right. You know, the main focus for us was on, you know, we learned, you know, Jewish history and then modern Jewish history.
Absolutely.
So we see, like, how the Jews have always been looking for that essential homeland, which, you know...
I need you to repeat that.
The Jews have always been looking to return to their homeland.
That's fantastic. I love
it. You know, because they were... I mean, it's just history. History is always repeating itself. Jews have always been persecuted wherever they go.
Right,
well, thank God for America, greatest country in the world, in my opinion.
You're absolutely correct, but it's changing. Things are changing. This is the reality. This is part of my job. The reality is of this great country, and the reality is unless we do something about what's happening in the United States, it's going downhill quick. I'm not being critical, I'm critiquing. But I'm not mean. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm very much about calling the American Jews home. This is the Jewish state.
Right,
and you've waited for 2,000 years.
Right, exactly. You know, and there's been a lot of bloodshed over this country. There's been a lot of tears shed over this country.
Absolutely, I'm glad you're saying it.
And we've just... I mean, my family has had American military history.
Nice.
So I've always had, like, a military background, and I thought to myself... I remember when I was 18, I was going to join the Army. I was going to join the American Army. I wanted to go to the Marines, really.
Yeah.
And, you know.
My brother-in-law's a Marine, Master Gunnery Sergeant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my nephew's in Afghanistan in the Army.
Ah, I wish him the best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But,
go ahead.
So I was going to join the American military, and I let my mother convince me, you know, as a Jew, it would be, honestly, more appropriate, but it would be more, I don't know how to say it in
meaningful.
English.
Meaningful.
That's exactly what I was looking
meaningful.
For. Meaningful for me to serve as a... in the Jewish homeland and, you know, give back, because back in the 48 war, it was horrible. I mean, from what I've read in the
history
books.
War of independence.
Exactly. So, you know, if these people can give all that they had for the establishment of a Jewish state, then I should give all that I can to maintain the Jewish state.
Wow.
I mean, really, look, I heard you earlier before speaking to someone else, and you say, you know, it's like the only democracy, you know, in the Middle East.
Absolutely.
And it's true. It's, you know, it's the only place... I read in the news a lot, you know, that people are always comparing, like, a lot of the left-wing activists essentially left-wing activists are always, like, comparing Israel to the apartheid in South Africa.
Crazy.
I mean,
stupid.
It's absolutely no comparison, in my opinion, because
No, it's not your opinion, that's a fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me clarify that.
I mean, we have Palestinians, I'm not going to call them Palestinians,
You have Muslims.
We
have just as much freedoms as everybody
absolutely,
else.
Absolutely, you know, in the Israeli parliament.
They have representation.
In the Supreme Court. No, there's members of parliament in the Knesset. They're Palestinians.
Yeah.
And in the
they're Muslim. So you're a sniper.
Well, I was.
You were. Mm-hmm. But how'd that come into being?
Well, it's kind of ironic. So I was the only American in my unit.
Okay.
There were 99 Israelis who don't speak English at all, and then one American, which was me. Essentially, it's not really a secret that Israelis don't have patience.
Right. Yeah. It's you know, life is short.
Right. Well, they're very edgy. They're very like, I want to get there already. You know, I'm not waiting.
There's no lines.
Exactly. So
it's a cultural thing.
Exactly. It's more European, kind of.
Yeah.
Israel's like a very, although it's located in Asia, it's very European.
Yeah.
But also, I'm from the South, so, you know, I was raised shooting.
Absolutely.
I knew my way with the rifle. And so I was the best shot. When I was in basic training, I was the designated marksman for my platoon.
Wow.
And then at the end of advanced infantry training, they said, okay, we're going to send you to the sniper's course, which was, they sent out eight of us all together.
Wow.
It was me, two French guys, one Indian guy, and like three Russians, and then one Israeli.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think they just took like all the people that, you know, that were as not Israeli as possible, because I don't know, Israelis didn't really have patience for it. You can't stick an Israeli. I mean, listen, it's rough. It's hard to say.
It's a cultural thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't stick an Israeli in a hole for 72 hours and say, hey, wait for this guy to come, and then, you know, when he does, you know, be ready to take the necessary actions.
Right. Right.
They did sit there for 20 minutes, and I don't know, they'll pull out their iPhone and start. You know, they'll lose the touch of what the mission is. So we did that. And it was very interesting. So the course altogether was about 2 months. And then after that, I was deployed in Gaza for 6 months.
Oh, wow, in the Gaza.
That was horrible.
Wow.
There wasn't one night.
There's savages down there.
Yeah, there was, I've had RPGs shot at me. I've had mortars falling on me.
RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades. Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
Almost every single night. There were counter snipers shooting at us. What they'll do is like my, so we were on the border in what was like considered like the hottest area of the strip, like the where the most action occurs.
Yeah.
So we're the settlements that are closest to the border with the Gaza Strip. And I would witness just, you know, these mortars falling on civilian communities who have no say in the matter at all.
Yeah.
It's, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a day, the siren goes off, you know, code red. You have less than 30 seconds. Unfortunately, since we're so close to the border, that they can only detect the they can only tell you to go into a bomb shelter after the first rocket fell.
Wow.
Because it's so close, it takes 30 seconds for it to hit.
Yeah.
But there's really no advanced warning system.
You can't get out. You shouldn't move because you could get hit, and then you move after it goes off.
Right. You just have no idea what's going to happen. So
wow.
So on my base, what happens is we have combat medics, and they would always be like shuttling people over who were injured by these rockets.
Wow.
To our base for medical attention until we can helicopter them over to the hospital that was located in the next city over.
Yeah.
But I've seen, you know, just foreigners who you know were also here visiting for 2 weeks, you know, with their entire face peppered with shrapnel. And, you know, my company commander lost both of his arms on...
Wow.
Yeah. One of my best friends who was in my platoon during basic training...
Yeah.
Was driving and was doing a patrol along the border, and a landmine set off, and it just took his whole leg with it. So...
Wow.
He happened to be one of the best soldiers that I've also met until this day. He was... You know, the mandatory service is 3 years.
Yeah.
And he was going to sign. And most Israelis, like, you know, they finish the 3 years. They're, you know.
They want to move on.
Yeah, they want to move on. But he was.
They still do reserves.
Yeah. There's reserves still. Yeah, you're old. But, you know, there's a lot of reserves.
Yeah.
But he was planning. It would happen to me that the next day, he was supposed to go over to the battalion headquarters and sign an additional 2 years in the Army.
It's called re-up in the U.S. military. Re-up.
Ah, okay.
Re-sign up.
Right.
Wow.
As he was going to be the platoon sergeant for one of the platoons of my company.
Wow.
And then he was injured, and it was devastating.
Wow.
Until now,
how did that make you feel when you saw that?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. They probably shouldn't have me saying this, but like, when the rockets were falling in the beginning, you know, we're thinking, okay, you know, we're used to it by now. We wouldn't exactly rush into the bomb shelters.
Yeah.
We take our time, and then it wasn't until these things started happening where we were witnessing with our own eyes direct hits.
Right.
My base in particular got hit several times directly, and you know, until you see it, then it really wakes you up, and you realize how dire the situation really is, and how vigilant you have to be, and that you just have to always be on your toes.
Right.
And there's just no room for slacking around, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
My buddy, you know, like I said, my company commander lost both his arms. And he's still young. He's like 24, 25.
Wow. Well, listen, there's some projects I'm working on for Israel to help the soldiers that are wounded here.
So, listen,
I want to say thank you, brother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for fighting, for defending this country. Thank you for being a great American, for being a great Israeli. And this is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel. Wow, that's a very sobering story you just told me.
Well, thank you so much for your support. I, as an American and as an Israeli, I tell you, we really appreciate it over here.
No, you're very welcome. And I want to say thank you to everyone who supports Merkel and supports our work here through Insight to Israel. I want to say thank you to America's Web Radio for bringing the grassroots of the United States of America, the Patriot Conservatives, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its fight for sovereignty and security. Thank you for listening. God bless. God bless Israel.